Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:23, and that is Pacific Summer Time, and today is August 16th. And it's going to be my last audio for about a week, as I'm taking Mrs. Tracy away for her birthday. But it has been an eventful day. And one of the reasons for that is because Fed Vice Chairman Mr. Bullard has upset the market by saying that the bond markets are way too complacent and that the Fed might yet raise interest rates in September. But it would appear that the bond markets are willing to call his bluff because 12-month yields are still at about just less than 54 basis points. And considering that interest rates are around that level, it would suggest that they're in no hurry to price in an imminent rate hike. And one would have to question whether the Fed is likely to raise interest rates when we are so close to a presidential election, which in its own right is an uncertainty that has the potential to have economic consequences. So then would the Fed attempt to preempt a result, or would they prefer to wait and see? And considering that it is the Fed or central bank we're talking about, it's more likely that they will wait and see. And I guess that is the conclusion that the bond markets are taking. But it is also the conclusion that the currency markets are taking. So today, the dollar was really quite weak. And against the euro, it was down by just less than a cent. Against the pound, it was weaker by over a cent and a half. Against the yen, it is now testing the 100 yen to the dollar area, and that's a psychological level which has been an area of dollar support over the last couple of months. And then when we look at emerging markets, the Korean won continues to strengthen. The Mexican peso is, or the dollar is back at a potential area of support against the Mexican peso, where you have it at the region of the moving average and the higher reaction lows. So it is at an important point for against a number of currencies. What is interesting is that if you were to take the labels off the chart and simply look at euro dollar, then what you're presented with is an accelerating downtrend which has lost momentum. There is support building underway, and there is an incremental progression of higher reaction lows within that range, which, generally speaking, is indicative of support building and accumulation. But when you put the labels back on the chart and you realize that that is euro dollar, and then being cognizant of everything that is has gone wrong, is going wrong, and could potentially go wrong within the eurozone, then it's very hard to come to a bullish conclusion that the euro is going to go higher. And yet, what we're presented with in very basic terms is that you have negative interest rates in the eurozone, which is deflationary by nature for the simple reason that it inhibits the supply of the currency. And with less euros around, then the ones that remain are more valuable. Then the Fed is not printing currency at an alarming rate, such as it would have done when you had quantitative easing. So then that is the balance, where you have the supply of one currency relatively stable and the other one being taken down. Well, then the euro is exhibiting some relative strength. Now, if the Fed were to raise interest rates, then the interest rate differential would come back into play. And then that would likely result in the dollar firming against the euro additionally. However, if the Fed demurs from raising interest rates over the next 6 months and feels that it is unable to raise interest rates because just about every other central bank in the world is printing currency, then that could result in the euro firming additionally, and not least if the euro can get its economic act together. And not just economic, but governance act together. It really is all about governance now within the eurozone. And they have shown precious little improvement in terms of governance for really quite some time. But at the same time, we can't discount that that is a possibility, and not least because we have so many elections coming up that there is the possibility that voters in France and the Netherlands and Germany could vote for reform. And it is impossible to predict just yet how that might shape itself, but we couldn't preclude the possibility that it could be a benign outcome rather than the disastrous outcomes that are being predicted so very vocally in the media. Interesting too that the pound has strengthened really quite impressively in here today. It has bounced back above the 130 level, and that 129 and a bit and just below 130 area has now offered support on two separate occasions, and a clear downward dynamic would be required to quest your potential for the short-term oversold condition to be unwound. But by the same token, there are probably very few people in the city want to see the pound stronger than 135 to the dollar. It would be, I think, rash to predict that the pound is going to rebound in the short term. But I think I would have a much more confident view that the pound will rebound over the medium term, considering that they have the opportunity to create an economic environment within the UK that could be similar to Hong Kong's relationship with China. In other words, that they could go for what the UK has always been, which is a strong trading group. And that is certainly looking to be the case with the administration that is currently there. Well, when you have had dollar strength as for quite some time, then what we're now presented with is some dollar weakness, and bond prices were a little bit weaker in here today as well, but not in a dynamic fashion, and it just continues to look like we're getting some mean reversion in bond pricing, that there isn't the same degree of panic and insurance buying that we had following the Brexit vote and ahead of the Brexit vote. But in the stock markets today, because of that dollar weakness, which was translated into both euro and yen strength, the Nikkei was down 1.6%, the Euro Stoxx 50 was down about 1%, and pulling back from, or at least encountering near-term or very short-term resistance in the region of the trend mean and the progression of lower rally highs, and they really do need to break back above those respective trend means to indicate that demand is back in dominance beyond the short term. Then when we look at Wall Street, that we've had consecutive days on the upside, but not a dynamic move in here today, and the S&P was down just over half of 1%. So we're getting a little bit of pause and consolidation, and it is worth highlighting, of course, that there are short-term overbought conditions on some of these indices, so some consolidation and a pause is certainly not beyond the bounds of possibility. With that dollar weakness in here today, it could have been expected that we would have had a bigger move in the currencies, and I think they were higher earlier on, and then they were pegged back by the Fed statements. Gold was only up about just a bit less than $7. Silver was down a tad. Palladium and platinum were both in positive territory, but also both off their highs, and particularly the case for platinum. But elsewhere in the commodity sector, it was generally steady. So oil prices were up another 90 cents. And this continues to be I think it's 4 to 5 days now consecutive on the upside. So the short-term oversold condition is rapidly being unwound. And then they are coming back up towards the peaks that we had seen last month. So then the question will be what happens next. And we continue to think that this is a support building phase, and that we can anticipate that there is going to be ranging, and that could be potentially lengthy. And when we look at China, which really had fireworks yesterday, then it was in negative territory very slightly in here today. The Hang Seng was pretty much unchanged. But elsewhere in Asia, you had a generally positive day, because whereas you get the majority of European and indeed Japan pulling back when you get dollar strength, then the majority of ASEAN countries tend to do that bit better. So the majority of indices were slightly in negative territory, not by the same margin, of course, that we had in Japan or in Europe, but their performance is being flattered by the strength of their respective currencies. And the Asia dollar index is worth keeping an eye on, because it has now pushed back above its 200-day moving average. It is coming back up to test the highs for the year, and if it can move to a new high, then that would suggest that the medium-term corrective phase for some of those markets has, for those currencies, has ended. And that would be a green light for even more foreign investors to look for value in the emerging market, and particularly Asian region. And Mexico is worth highlighting, but also Latin America, where you have, for example, the Peruvian market has been rallying impressively all year, and its currency has steadied. The Brazilian market has been consolidating, but it has also had a substantial rally in its currency. So, and of course, Latin America has got these substantially higher yields, and we do remain within a very low yield environment. So regardless of the risks that yield, hungry investors have little choice but to move further out the risk curve in order to capture the yield that they require. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.